going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
A tradition like none other, generally reserved for maybe a golf tournament around this time of year, but it's also having Brian Baldinger join. It's always game day in Buffalo here on our Odyssey podcast, where he also is a host of the Best Football Show. Brian here at Sal Capaccio in Buffalo. Glad to talk to you again.
Thanks, Sal. It's good to be with you. It's, you know, I mean, every fan is following this draft that starts tomorrow, Sal. And, you know, everybody has their opinions. There are a lot of general managers out there.
Yep.
But we really have to kind of wait and see just how this thing is going to unfold, because we can make all the predictions we want. And I don't know, if Cleveland trades out of the number two pick, the whole thing might just get blown up. Who knows?
No doubt. All right, a couple house cleaning items, and we'll get to Brian and his draft and Bills thoughts. First of all, Matt Bove unable to make it today, my co-host. A lot going on with the Bills, obviously, this week. I just came from the Micah Hyde press conference for his charity softball game. It's going to be awesome coming up on Sunday, May 4th. I'm the on-field MC for that. That's pretty cool. And I want everybody to know real quickly, today I launched my subscriber service through Twitter. So if you're following me on Twitter and you want more exclusive Bills content, now's a great time to jump on board. It's less than a cup of coffee a month, basically, right? So if you want to go there and do that, at Sal Sports, hit that subscribe button. Exclusive content coming your way. I have a Discord channel that we can talk about the draft, the Bills. We're going to have giveaways, doing a lot of stuff. And of course, right here at Always Game Day in Buffalo, we'll never go away, at Sal Sports on YouTube and wherever you pod, on iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere else. But thank you very much for hitting that subscribe button on Twitter as well. Okay, Brian, so the Bills are picking number 30. Mm-hmm. And that's really low to, you know, not kind of know how the board's going to fall. We can all make our projections, but I do know this. The Bills need some help on defense, especially on the defensive line. They've talked about it. I think that's where they're going to concentrate. They've attacked it in the offseason, but Michael Hoyt's suspended 6 games. Larry Ogunjobi suspended 6 games. Let's talk about guys you think could be available at number 30, and specifically maybe guys who could play the one technique where the Bills really might need a little bit more meat.
Well, I started this draft process, Sal, at the Senior Bowl this year. And I was down there for the first 2 days in every single drill. Just Mike Tomlin was down there, Mike Vrabel, John Lynch. I mean, we're all looking and sort of drooling at the crop of defensive linemen in this draft. I mean, it's a deep, it's a talented crop. And I mean, with real NFL bodies, you know, guys that look developed, look the part physically, you know. And so, you know, like a Darius Alexander, you know, out of Toledo, is a guy, look, you can talk about Toledo and the MAC conference. We saw Quinyon Mitchell come out and play better than any rookie corner in the league out of Toledo last year. So don't look at the level of competition. He came to the Senior Bowl. He looked like he just blended in with every SEC defensive lineman. But this is a talented group. And, you know, last year we didn't see a defensive lineman or defensive player drafted until Indianapolis took Laiatu Latu with the 16th pick. That is not going to happen this year. It might start with Abdul Carter. This is a talented group here, Sal. And so you could go through all the names, But I believe even at 30, if the Bills just stay there and let the draft come to them, the way I think, you know, I think, you know, Billy will, they're going to get a good player.
We've heard some rumblings over the last 48 hours about Derek Harmon, his shoulder injury, medical red flag. That's a guy that I really like for the Bills. I think he fits everything they would love. 6'4.5", 313. Now, not the biggest guy, but big enough, that's for sure. What do you make of his, you know, report that's coming out about his shoulder?
Well, this is when the stuff starts leaking now, Sal, is, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, some things, it waits to the final 48 hours. Medical issues are important. I was at Penn State's Pro Day for Abdul Carter. He didn't perform. And people were concerned about his foot, concerned about his shoulder. And so until you get these things checked out, because a lot of these players now will play coy and they won't do anything that might be necessary as far as a surgery. And I don't know this, you know, about Josh, but I don't know what it, you know, what needs to be done, if anything needs to be done, and if he's going to be good to go for the offseason as soon as you draft him. Like, I don't know that stuff. And so that's stuff the team has to sort of filter through, and they've got to make that kind of decision.
What have you seen on film when you watch a guy like Kenneth Grant? I'll give you him. And then also I'll go to Tyleek Williams, obviously a pair of rivals at Michigan and Ohio State, but those are two guys who have been linked to the Bills.
Yeah. So Kenneth, there's days when I watch Kenneth Grant at Michigan over the last 2 years, Sal, and I go, would you rather have Mason Graham, who's thought to go much higher than Kenneth Grant, or Kenneth Grant? Like, is Mason Graham, have we seen the best of him because of his technique, his pad level? But he doesn't have the same body that Kenneth Grant has. Kenneth Grant is 30 pounds bigger. He looks more, he just looks like a bigger defensive tackle. I like size. I think that matters. Like, but Kenneth Grant isn't completely finished. But I think if he's in the right system, if he's coached well, we could see Kenneth Grant become a better NFL player. Because of his size, you watch him against USC, nobody could block him. He slipped every block. He's got great movement. He's had two really good years at Michigan. Tyleek Williams played on a very talented defensive line. It's almost embarrassing how much talent Ohio State has. And that can be good, and that can be bad, Sal.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you play in a team where you got two edge rushers like they have, and they're both Jack Sawyer and Tui Moalau. Like, don't both those guys are NFL players? And then you look at the linebackers that they've had, and you go, well, how many plays do you have to make? Because there's so much talent. But Tyleek is a very sound player. He reminds me more of Mason Graham from his ability to stack shed, play with good pad level, like patrol his area of the field, and he does it really well. I'm very excited about the upside of what Kenneth Grant can be, because he is 335 pounds. He is 6'4". He does know how to, you know, spin and get off blocks to get to the quarterback. And that's really, look, Ed Oliver has been undersized. He's really hard. We all love Ed, the person, the man, the competitor. But there's something about being that size inside that you could get swallowed up, and you can't make a difference every series when you want to.
That's actually why I say, I don't know, as much as I love Walter Nolan, I don't know if he fits for the Bills. He's less than 300 pounds. And can you really put him next to Ed Oliver? I don't know if you can do that, Baldy. You know, I mean, does that make sense?
So I texted a personnel director about Walter Nolan, because I know he was at his pro day at Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I see the explosive content. Like, to me, I heard people saying, well, he could be Jalen Carter. No, he's not Jalen Carter. He does, because to your point here, Sal, from the waist down, he's not Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter is physically, from the waist down, as talented as any player I've seen come out of the draft in years. And Walter Nolan doesn't have a lower body like that. And so I see the explosiveness. I see all those things. But I don't know if he's got a base that you want to have. And that's part of the reason why he's under 300 pounds. From the waist down, he's just – and I know he was highly talented coming out of high school and all this stuff. But I'm concerned about, does he have the girth necessary to hang in there against these double teams that he's going to take on against guard and tackles in his business right now?
What did that pro personnel director text you about him?
Just that. He was worried about the lower body strength, that it didn't look like it's elite.
Let's go to edge. Brian. And the Bills, obviously, they do sign Joey Bosa, obviously, to help out along the edge. They're going to try and do some load management with him at his age, his injury history. Michael Hoyt is suspended 6 games, a guy they can put around the front seven. So they're going to have to add to a spot that they already have rotation with Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, obviously, there as well. What kind of players do you think could fit at number 30 who could kind of, you know, slide right into the Bills system, a true 4-3 coming off the edge?
Well, I mean, could Donovan Ezeraku, you know,
I like him a lot. Yeah.
Like, it's a, you know, first of all, he's a very, I kind of know the kid a little bit because he's from South Jersey. I live there. I'm in LA right now. But I mean, like, we've known about him. I've known players that coached him coming up. He's a very clean prospect. You never have to worry about, like, he's, like, he is a soldier. Like, he's committed. He loves the game. His tape says he loves the game. You never have to worry about him. Like, there's no red flags. He's been healthy. Comes out of, but he's a very clean prospect with real pass rush ability. Is he big enough to live on the edge? You know, I guess that would be the one concern. But I think picking number 30, if he's hanging around there, he's a guy that is in the conversation to be taken at that spot.
Shamar Stewart, what do you think about him?
Well, you know, he's a very talented player. Like, everybody can see the talent. You just don't see the production. Now, why is that? You know, some guys have all the talent in the world, arm length, size, explosion, fast times. I just don't see the production from Shamar. Like, I want to love him, but I watch Texas A&M play, and I'm watching number 4, and I'm saying, where's the amount of plays that you need to make at that position? And I just don't see the production. The production to me just doesn't marry the talent that it looks like he has.
Of these guys, who's most likely to fall and possibly be available around 30? Jaylen Walker, Mykal Williams, Mike Green, and James Pierce Jr.
I would say only because of stuff I'm hearing that James Pierce Jr. And I keep fishing for it, Sal. I'm not a reporter. I'm not looking to break stories. It's not what I do. I just want to evaluate talent. But I hear things about him that doesn't seem like it's going to make the public airwaves yet. That could have him dropping. And then it's a question, how comfortable are you with some of these things? It could be practice habits. It could be off the field stuff. So I don't know.
Right.
But I feel like, and the 4 guys you mentioned, that's the guy I feel like that could drop.
I think Landon Jackson should be there. What are your thoughts on him?
This is a Landon Jackson.
Yeah. Taller guy. Too, 6'6".
Yeah. And he's got great tape.
Yeah.
You know, he's 6'6". He's long. He's a good worker. There's nothing not to like about his tape. Can he last to number 30? Is there enough players already gone at that position on the edge where he could still be there? Because I feel like he's going to get pushed down because some of the names we just mentioned that might be evaluated above him at this point that push him to the bottom or the top of the second round. But it's just a question, are you comfortable taking him at 30? Because I think he's going to be there.
Brian Baldinger here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. He's the host of Odyssey's The Best Football Show podcast and does a great job. You can follow all of his work as well online. Now, we're going to transition to corner here, and it's my position, Baldy, that the Bills are going to take a corner within the first 3 picks, but it won't be with number 30, and that's why they raised the floor at their depth with Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White, guys that know the system. You know the way that Sean McDermott operates and how important those spots are for him. So they can, however, take a guy early that can develop to play. Looking at the group at corner right now, is there somebody who might be a day 2 guy, second round, 56 or 60, that could still be on the board and fit the Bills?
Well, Revell from East Carolina could be a guy. You know, I mean, he's got really good tape. You know, Christian Benford, like, they gave him a big contract. You know, he's going to be part of the future going forward. So, you know, Dane Jackson, is he a starter? Do you want to push him? You know, Kair Elam, it did not work out.
Yep.
He's gone. So, like, I feel like Revell's a guy that could be there at that position right now that could be worthy of that type of a pick at 56.
Do you get concerned about the ACL injury he's recovering from? I mean, technology, obviously, these days, these guys can come back from these things, but is that something that could hold him back for teams shying away a little bit?
It just depends. I mean, if he's ready to go, like, when he's ready to go, most guys come back from that injury right now. It's not a long-term consideration because of technology. Guys are walking out of these surgeries now with ACL tears and the rehabbing day 1. when I tore my ACL, you know, I was in a cast from my hip to my toe for 6 months, and it was a real, you know, it was a real recovery. But I feel like guys now, like, it's almost like a badge of honor. Like, once you get your ACL, okay, now you're an NFL player almost to some degree. I'm not wishing any injuries.
Right. I totally get it. I know that Will Johnson most likely won't be available for the Bills, but he does have family ties here in Buffalo. So I know that people follow him. What is your range of outcomes for him, given everything we've heard about him on the field and then medically?
Well, it's a concern. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, look, he missed, you know, the last 10 games because of a turf toe. All right. Now, could he have played with it? Like, everybody's tolerance is different. So I never challenge anybody, but he didn't get on the field. And then, you know, he had issues that he couldn't test with throughout the entire offseason, where you couldn't even get a 40 time on him. And I don't care who you are. Like, I know the tape before, the interception reel, the length, national championship, but you could see the skill. But everybody wants to see a corner run, because if you're a first round talent, we got to know that you can run somewhere in the 4.4s or low 4.5s, that you can run with these receivers in man coverage. You have to be able to do it. And if there's lack of fast foot speed, it's going to knock you out of the first round. Now, we don't know that about Will. We're just projecting. Mm-hmm. But there is a history there that says, is he a clean prospect at this point? Because of what he's gone through over almost an entire year right now, where he hasn't seemingly been healthy enough just to run a 40 or work out.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Seth. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning, because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Bills run mainly a zone system. Now, that said, traits are incredible on some of these guys. Maxwell Harrison is one of them. But the Bills will obviously draft for a guy that they would want to fit into their group. I mean, maybe that's why it didn't work with Kyrie Elam. So let's talk about Harrison and Trey Amos. And if they have the kind of game that would fit for what the Bills want to run, primarily his own defense, and where do you see these guys possibly going? Are they both first rounders or guys that would go in day two?
I think Trey Amos is going to go in the first round.
Okay.
You know, I think there's Will Hunter, there's Jade, there's Will.
Yep.
You know, and then it starts to, you get into, you know, those type of players you're just describing right now. And I feel like if you want an elite corner, you've got to get them in the first round. Mm-hmm. You got to spend a first round pick on guys. Now, Christian Benford, was he a six-round pick out of Villanova? Yeah. I mean, look, they got lucky. You know, yeah. I mean, but he fits the scheme, what they like to play. So they keep everything in front of him. We know the way things are coached there in Buffalo. So you can be a six-round pick and start, you know, for Buffalo. Yeah. But I feel like if you want to start getting after quarterbacks with pressure schemes and everything, you got to still be able to hold up on the outside, you know, against elite receivers, Garrett Wilson, whoever you're playing against. So I feel like he's a first round pick.
Guy I love is Darian Porter, 6'3", 195. He's lengthy. He's got traits. He reminds me a lot of Tariq Woolen, and I loved Woolen coming out of the draft. Where are you on Darian Porter?
Well, you know, you love his speed. You love his traits, because that's what you're kind of, you know, basically banking on right there. But I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, I don't know if he's going to get into the first round. There's, you know, there's so many guys, but, you know, Iowa State's putting out a lot of good players. Yep. He went up against good receivers every single day in practice, guys that can really run. You know, he's running in the 4.3 with the kind of length that he has. You can fall in love with his length and his speed. And, like, I'm a Matt Campbell fan at Iowa State. I got to know him doing Big 12 games when he first went there. Like, he has been an elite recruiter. And, you know, they're putting out really good players every year right now. And Porter is one of those guys right now. He's an Iowa kid. You know, he kept him away from the University of Iowa. He went there, and, you know, the tape is good. It's just a question of where he's at on your board right now when you're picking. And do you think those traits that he has, that length of over 6'2" and, you know, running in the 4.3s, are those traits enough to take him where you're comfortable with it?
Couple more for you, Baldy, before I let you go. General questions, but more specifically, one guy that has ties to Buffalo, went to the university at Buffalo. He's from Western New York, West Seneca, Sean Dolak, a first-team All-American linebacker who doesn't even get any invites to a bowl game. I think it's crazy here. I've talked to Coach Pete Lembo. I know him well here at Buffalo. Nobody can figure out why. But now here he is through the draft process. He crushed it at UB's Pro Day here in Buffalo. You did a breakdown, Baldy NFL, on Twitter. I love it. And if people didn't see it, you can go check it out. What did you see from Sean Dolak on film?
Well, for you, he was a combine snub too.
That's right.
Get invited to the combine. Like, honestly, when I watch him, like, the production is a production. 168 tackles, you know, the interceptions, the pass to defense, the fumble, like all the sacks. Honestly, he reminded me of Matt Milano. Like, he's almost the same size as Matt.
Yep.
And I'm sure, like, I don't exactly remember what they were saying about Matt coming out of Boston College. But I'm sure they're like, well, he's undersized, he's too small. Like,
some people said he should play safety.
He should play safety, okay. But, you know, there is a world of difference when Matt Milano is healthy and in the lineup for Buffalo's defense and when he's not there. Like, especially the way their zone and how they play and how Taron fits in with that intermediate layer of linebackers. When he's in the lineup, when he's not in the lineup, there's a world of difference. And so that speed, that ability to, like, know what's going on behind you without looking, just to feel the instincts that Dolak has, like, they're real. And I know there's probably a real push to keep him in Western New York right now. There's outside of his size, whether you think it's too small, outside of that, you can't find a reason not to draft this kid.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills restructured Matt Milano's contract. He has 1 year left on that. We'll see where that goes if he can regain his form. He's 31 years old now. That being said, you also have Joe Andreessen from the University of Buffalo, obviously backing up Terrell Bernard, a guy that they found as a tryout player last year. So we'll see what happens with Sean Dolak. Baldy, what's your what is there a team near the top 10, let's say, of the draft? I think Jacksonville's the team lately that's been this for most people, but you just kind of can't get the right read on. It might be a big pivot point on where this draft might kind of hinge.
Well, only because, I mean, Jacksonville is one of those teams. Because, you know, Tony Boselli is new in his role.
Yeah.
The GM is brand new. Liam Cohen is a first-time head coach. And so, I mean, they're sitting there at five, and you can project all you want. But we really don't know how they think. You can say, okay, the general manager comes from the Rams, Les Snead, went 8 years without a first-round pick. They're willing to trade it. Yeah, you can say all these kind of things. But we don't know. They're in a new role. Tony Boselli's in a new role. We know that this team has a lot of holes. We know that Trevor Lawrence has to get right. You have to make this work. They gave him a big contract last year to be the guy. He has not been healthy or played well in big spots. And so what's the best way to help him right now? You know, is it drafting an elite back in Ashton Jeanty? Is it trading up for an elite player? Like, to me, they're the wild card here. Do they want to trade back and accumulate picks? Is somebody willing to go up there for the fifth pick? Like, all these things to me says they're the wild card. And so I don't know what to make of them at this point. And I'm not fishing for it either, Sal.
Right,
I'm not out there making phone calls to Tony Boselli or anything like that. But to me, when you have three key pieces at the very top of this, and they're all new in their roles, we really don't know how they think yet.
What about quarterbacks before I let you go? Have you settled on maybe how many quarterbacks go, where the range is for some of these guys? Sanders, Dart, obviously. I think we're all anticipating Cam Moore to be the number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Cam's pro day at Miami, and I was at Shador's pro day in Boulder, and I've been around them, and, you know, I've studied them all. I don't think it's a great group. I don't think there's Josh Allen in this draft. Mm-hmm. You can project all you want. He's rare. But that's okay. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time. And if you don't have one, you better find a way to get one. Like, I don't know what Pittsburgh is going to do, Sal. You know, you got Mason Rudolph on the roster and maybe Aaron Rodgers and maybe, like, I don't know. But at some point, you got to pick them. None of us know what they're going to be like. Everybody said when Josh was drafted at Wyoming, well, look at that completion percentage. And look where he's at. You know, like, you wouldn't trade that guy for the world right now. Nobody would. But – so we don't know what any of these guys are going to look like until they start playing. and they start getting coached, and you see what's around him. I was a big proponent 6 years ago of the Eagles using their 53rd pick on Jalen Hurts. Not because I didn't think Carson Wentz couldn't do it. I was all in on Carson Wentz. But I thought Jalen Hurts was going to be a good developmental quarterback, and here he is, Super Bowl MVP. So if you like a guy, if you need a guy, draft a guy. And I think three of them are going to go in the first round.
Join the close to 500,000 people following Brian Baldinger on Twitter, at Baldy NFL. Baldy's breakdowns, always great. I think the one last year that Bills fans really loved was you breaking down Deion Dawkins and the way he was able to you could describe the technique for me. You're an O-line guy. You can
he does this chop where his linemen are leading with their hands.
It's amazing.
He's chopping them down, they're losing their balance, and you know, he's just sitting on top of them, and it's a technique that's getting more popular, but nobody is better than Dawk right now doing it.
No doubt about it. Brian Baldinger, host of Odyssey's The Best Football Show podcast. Always great to catch up. Enjoy this week. Thank you so much for coming on. It's always game day in Buffalo again.
Yep, you bet, Sal.
All right, before we go real quick, once again, I want to remind everybody, we got a lot more draft content all weekend long with Matt Bove and I. We'll be down at One Bills Drive. And don't forget to go to my Twitter feed, hit that subscribe button. You're going to get exclusive content going forward. Baldy, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Sal.